Good morning. It's so good to see everybody this morning. We want to welcome all of you on this fifth Sunday after Pentecost. And we are glad that you're here. We want to welcome everybody. And we pray that God's blessing and presence will be real to you today as we worship together and pray and sing and hear God's word. And we also want to welcome those that may be listening online later on. And so as we begin today, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together for our call to worship this morning. We give thanks to God for our nation and freedoms.
We celebrate God's gracious ways.
God showers our nation with blessings,
enhancing our lives and all of creation.
God showers our nation with grace,
greatly enriching our lives.
Let us sing of God's steadfast love. Well, let's join together there. You can turn in your hymn books to 612 or follow along on the PowerPoint this morning, America the Beautiful this morning. Oh, beautiful for spacious sky, for amber waves of gray, for purple mountain majesty above the throne. Well, let's join together there for our opening prayer this morning. Gracious God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. For the gift of this new day, the blessings of our nation, and the gift of your salvation, we rejoice. Accept our praise offered in word and song, here and everywhere, now and always. Amen. And you may be seated, and you can turn to your next hymn there, 609, or follow along there on the PowerPoint, My Country 'Tis of Thee. My country 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride, from every mountainside, let freedom ring. My native country, the land of the noble free, thy name I love. I love thy rocks and hills, thy woods and templed hills. My heart with rapture thrills like that of. I'm going to invite our kids to come down if they would this morning.
Brothers shake their head. Yes, I remember those. you get mad?
All right, while they're heading down with Miss Carrie this morning, I think I got them riled up is what I did. Woo! That didn't sound slow, did it? We're going to go to prayer, and maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. Oh, let's go way in the back there, Carol.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken. Kind of thought maybe that might be what that was. Go ahead.
We have a joy. Right now it's 3 months since I've been over at the James, and it's now 1 year that all is good. We'll continue that for the next couple of years, every 3 months, but good report.
Yes, I know. And every one of those barriers are just so important. And we rejoice and thank God for that with Greg. today. Yes, and Linda. I saw another. Yep.
If everybody would please remember Trevor, he's right now at it appears he's in his last days, and they're having a prayer for him at 6:45 today. There are no churches meeting for that.
Okay. Well, we want to continue praying for Trevor. I know we've been praying for him on and off for at least a year or so. And but if you can remember, maybe we can mark those all down at 6:45 today and join together. It's interesting. When I was driving in, I was listening to somebody, and they were talking about the power of being in agreement in prayer with other people that will be praying with you. And I guess that's a kind of what is going on there with that. But we want to definitely lift up Trevor. Somebody else this morning. Yes.
I just need prayer for three of my granddaughters, Charlie Grayson, they're flying to Florida with their dad, and they need
Well, hopefully she'll be like me. The very first time I went on a plane flight, I was scared. And once we got going, man, it was exciting. So, yes, it just totally flipped for me. And, yeah, I've always enjoyed flights. So even a long one that was 17 hours long, yeah.
I joined our son got married yesterday. So,
Yeah, from Covington, right? Over there, yeah.
He doesn't live in Covington anymore.
Well, yes, yeah. Yeah, that's who I thought you were talking about. Yeah, well, good. Congratulations there. Yes.
Remember Linda, she's covered up in hives from some medicine she was given.
I've been wondering where she was the last few weeks. Okay. Oh, boy. Yes, definitely want to keep her in prayer. See how she's doing. Yeah.
For Sharon Bowinger.
Yes. Yes. Thank you for reminding me. I think I left it, the slip back in the office. Tom stopped in this morning, and he's known her for years from horseshoe pitching, and she's been battling cancer, and he was saying that she is going to have her leg, her one leg, I don't know which one it is, right leg all the way up as high as they can take it because the cancer is in her bones up in her hip on that side. And they decided just to take everything. So she definitely needs our prayers. Is the surgery this week? That's what I thought. And yes, he was heading over to Greenville for horseshoe pitching today. And he stopped in to talk to me about her. And so definitely appreciate your prayers for her and what's going to be happening there. So,
We have a joy. Erica and I are expecting our third in January.
Oh, my God. That's exciting. January, baby. Wonderful. Congratulations. That is such great news. Yes. Okay. We want to remember Lester in our prayers and battling that pancreatitis. And I thought I saw, yeah.
Who put Janet with my cousin. She has entered hospice. So we're just waiting.
Okay. Yeah, definitely one of them. We want to remember Janet and the family in prayer then. And definitely want to do that. Somebody else. Yes.
My cousin Christine Frank, we've been praying for her. She's still doing chemo. Last time it was really bad.
Okay. Yes. And yes, I know. You know, I don't know what it is here. It just seems like the way they do treat, it's like mega, mega doses of chemo that they do now, and they almost bring people to the brink of death to try to win that battle. And gosh, it's not a pretty picture, I can tell you that. And I thought I saw another. Well, go ahead.
Travel overseas for my daughter. She's coming back from Canada.
Yes, and we will do that. And also think about others. I'm sure there's some that are traveling this weekend over the 4th of July. And Jody's brother and I went somewhere on Friday, and the traffic on 75 was just crazy already. And I saw another hand. Go ahead, Penny.
My daughter Amber.
Remember Amber in our prayers, and God knows what that is, and we'll just leave it there. And yeah. You know what? I shared a little bit of it last week, but I said she'll probably share it this week. So go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
My sister.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You know, that is a real miracle of God, because the surgeon, you know, she had that 9x9 mass in her uterine area down in here. And after the surgeon got done, he had said, if I would have known it was what it, to the extent it was, he goes, I probably wouldn't have done the surgery. But it lets you know that because they did it, you just never know. And we are very thankful to God. And thank you for all your prayers. And anybody else? Yes, got a couple more. Go ahead, Jim. Yep.
To my wife, Kay, she's slowly slipping out of reality, so she's pretty bad.
Yeah, and that's never easy. That's never easy when that happens to a loved one, but when it's our spouse, it's even harder. And that memory thing is not always, so we want to definitely remember Kay. And go ahead. Okay. What is her name?
Linda Abrams.
Linda. Okay. So we want to remember Linda in our prayers. Has this mass in her lung. And some of this longer stuff, you might want to fill out a prayer slip so that I can put them on the monthly. I was thinking about that one and Lester's and a few of these others that we've been... Well, it seems like we pray for every week. Anybody else then?
Brad and I would really appreciate prayers for safety. The entire family has decided to travel up to Fort Detroit. So we'll all be there for Matthew's advancement on Wednesday, but that means they're all going to be on the road. So I'm worried.
They'll be fine.
Yep.
They will do good. Travel again. The whole family's heading up to Michigan for Matthew's advancement to Lieutenant Colonel, as she shared. Was that last week or the week before? Last week, I think it was. And what a joy that is. And definitely. Anybody else? All right, lots of. Last week we didn't have hardly any, and this week we got a whole boatload. And so some of these names that come to your mind while she plays, you can pray for them. And... And then I'll close out. Lord, as we have gathered together today, we are grateful for the power of prayer and that you invite us to lift up our needs and bring those before our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name. And Lord, we think about so many of them that have been mentioned. First of all, Lord, we want to give you thanks and rejoice with those that shared joys today, God. And we're just wonderful to hear those various joys. And so we're thankful and grateful and rejoice today with those that shared. And Lord, we're thankful that when we do pray, that you are the one that hears and moves and works in different ways. And so we're grateful, and we pray, Lord, for all those that have been mentioned today. Lord, we lift up Trevor today, God, and I know a lot of them are going to be gathering together and praying at 6:45. But Lord, we lift him up to you today and ask for your touch and healing presence and grace with him today. We lift up Becky's granddaughters that are going to be flying for the first time, and others, the other two that were mentioned with travel and safety with travel, God, that you will just watch over all of them and give them traveling mercies and protect them and be with them. And Lord, we lift up Linda to you today, God, who's been battling hives. Lord, we just ask for your healing touch for her, and that you would minister to her. I'm sure she's probably taken medicine, Lord, and we just ask that you would extend your grace to her. We lift up Sharon to you, Lord, who has been battling cancer, and Lord, is going to be having that leg amputated with surgery this week. God, we ask that you would guide and direct and lead, and that you would bring healing and wholeness and your touch upon her. We lift up Lester to you with the pancreatitis, Lord. God, that you would touch him today and bring healing for Janet today in the family, Lord, as she has entered hospice. Lord, that you will just be with her and her family. God, extend your healing touch and grace and your comfort there. We lift up Kristen, Lord, who's been going through chemo treatments and how bad. We just pray for your strength and for recovery, God, and help and healing there, Lord, in just in such a special way, God, when I think about when people go through those things. And Lord, we lift up Amber to you, God, asking that you would be with her and give her wisdom and minister to her and extend your grace. We lift up Kay to you, God, asking for your touch for her, Lord. And we pray for strength for Jim and grace for him through all of that. That's never easy, God. And we just ask your blessing there. We lift up Linda to you with this mass in her lung, God. We just ask for that miracle, God, and a healing touch there. Somehow you can do that. And we pray that when the biopsy comes back, Lord, that maybe there's going to be a good report that's going to be involved there, and it's going to be something else, and that's something that they can take out and deal with there. And we just pray for guidance and wisdom with our the doctors and surgeons and everybody. And Lord, we pray for this unspoken need that was mentioned, Lord, that you would minister there as only you can, that you would just bring wisdom and guidance and your touch there. And Lord, we pray for any others, Lord, that were in need today and they didn't share. God, we just ask that you would meet that need as only you can do. And Lord, we just thank you for all of that and that you hear us as we've lifted up each one of those. We ask, Lord, your blessing upon the rest of our service. Lord, as we break the bread of your word and talk about a subject that's not always easy sometimes for us to interact with and engage and think about. But I pray that there'll be wisdom and guidance through that. And Lord, as this rest of this week, we think about our shut-ins and those on our monthly list. Lord, we continue to lift up all of them, asking for your blessing and touch and healing grace with all of them as we thank you for all of these things now. And Lord, we thank you for our nation and all the freedoms that we enjoy. We just pray that you'll continue to lead and guide our nation, give wisdom to our leaders at every level, and we're grateful and thankful for the blessings that we have. So thank you today, Lord, for all of these things as we ask them now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And so as our ushers come this morning, thank you so much for your faithfulness. And God bless you as you give today. Let's join together there for our prayer dedication. Generous God, for the bounty of our nation and our lives, we give you thanks. Use our offering and work your grace in others and our world. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Well, our scripture readings this morning are coming from quite a few passages. These are about half of the passages in the book of Proverbs that deal with the subject that we're going to talk about today. But I didn't want to talk about all of them, so we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29 through 30, chapter 15, verse 1 and 18, chapter 16, verse 32, chapter 24, verse 28 through 29, and chapter 25, verses 21 through 22. So we're just going to go through them. Whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but one who has a hasty temper exalts folly. A peace-filled mind gives life to the flesh, but fiery zeal makes the bones rot. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Hotheads stir up conflict, but those who are slow to anger calm down strife. One who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and one whose temper is controlled than one who captures a city. Do not be a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, I will do to others as they have done to me. I will pay them back for what they have done. If your enemies are hungry, give them bread to eat. And if they are thirsty, give them water to drink, for you will heap coals of fire on their heads, and the Lord will reward you. That is God's word for us this morning, and I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. I decided to share this one after our kind of storms last night. I know some of you lost power. I know we lost power for about 3 hours or a little over two hours last night. So here it is. One summer night during a severe thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small son into bed. She was about ready to turn the light off when he asked her in a trembling voice, Mommy, will you stay with me all night? Smiling, the mother gave him a warm, reassuring hug and said tenderly, I can't, dear. I have to sleep in Daddy's room. A long silence followed. At last, it was broken by a shaky voice saying, that big sissy. I want to talk to you this morning of the topic of understanding and handling anger. So we're continuing our series on wisdom for living from the book of Proverbs. Last week, we considered the expression, the fear of the Lord, or as I talked about, reverence for the Lord. And we talked about it as reverence, awe for God, and devotion to God. We discussed how it involves knowing God with humble and longing hearts and trusting God as essential for growing in wisdom. Today, we are considering one of the main topics found in the book of Proverbs. If we're going to live wisely, we need to understand and be able to handle anger in our lives. Not only in ourselves, but also when others direct their anger towards us. Now, I realize that this is not an easy subject. And as I was working through this week, there was a lot of parts of it that were speaking to me. And because we face anger on a lot of levels, and I'm going to talk a little bit about some of those. But hopefully, this will give us some wisdom as we consider the issue of anger this morning. We're going to look at two forms of that this morning as we do. So we're going to begin with making the statement that, as we all know, anger can be dangerous. Anger can be dangerous. Notice what the poet said there in chapter 14, verse 30. A gentle or peace-filled mind gives life, but fiery zeal or envy or jealousy rots the bones. Now, as I was looking at this week, I was struck by this verse very strongly, because what it says is a mind set on healing or peace will bring life. But when we allow fiery envy and jealousy and anger and so forth, if we're not careful, it can get down in us and mess our lives up. And so what am I trying to say, or what am I saying here? Well, obviously, anger can affect our bodies. I bet we could talk to Stephen for a while, because he's a doctor, and he can tell us all the statistics, or at least some of it, about the research on anger and stress and other things and what it does to our minds and our bodies and our spirits and all aspects of that. And I want to, the poet, you know, when we read through this and look at this today, everybody gets angry. And I'll talk about that a little bit more later on. But it's when we start to let it get bottled up within us. When we have bottled up anger, bottled up envy, bottled up animosity, that it can affect us. And studies show the effects of long-term anger versus a calm, peaceful, healing mind on our bodies. And not only that, but it also talks about how anger is worse, and this kind of surprised me a little bit, but then I started to think about that and some people I knew and so forth, how anger is worse on our hearts. And in this case, I want to clarify something. You know, when we were going through the study, we talked about the Hebrew idea of the heart as being our mind, our intellect, our thinking, our will, and everything. But in this case, I'm talking about our little literal heart that pumps. And this kind of surprised me when I heard this, when I read this week, that anger is worse on our heart than anxiety, sorrow, and physical exertion. That kind of surprised me a little bit. But it lets you know about what can happen if we allow things to build up in us, you know, pent up anger and so forth. So anger can affect our bodies. Second thing is anger affects community. We're not surprised by this. If you've ever read through the New Testament, Paul talks about things like this all the time, where he says, hey, you guys need to work these things out. We need to do this stuff in Christ. We need to love each other. We need to care for one another. We need to support one another, because he knows what can happen. Those kind of things can divide. And we read that passage there where it says, hotheads stir up conflict, but people slow to anger calm conflict. Now, we say hotheads, and I'm not talking about the eating place that Chase likes to go to and eat at. Or we might say short-tempered, quick-tempered. Here's what the Hebrews said. Short of breath. What happens when you get, and I started thinking about this week, so if you go into the Hebrew and read where it says short-tempered, hotheads, it says short of breath in Hebrew. Why is that? Well, what happens when you're exercising and you get short of breath? Well, if you're like me, you hang your mouth open like this. Some people breathe through their nose. And what happens with their nose or their nostrils? They flare. Have you ever had somebody so angry at you that their nostrils were flaring? So flaring nostrils in Hebrew thinking is somebody that's really mad and angry at us, you know. And that's the idea that's going on there. And so how many of you remember Bugs Bunny? Remember Bugs Bunny growing up? How many of you remember the time that the Martian from Mars landed on planet Earth where Bugs Bunny was? And remember that encounter? All I can think of, you make me very angry. That's the idea that's coming across here. And our anger then ends up affecting others. Angers can inflame situations. Our words can damage or wound people or relationships and community. I mean, this is not surprising to us. We understand this, that anger can affect community and how dangerous that can be. And then the third thing there that talks about in these passages is anger affects our wills. Now, when this happens, Proverbs, and Jesus kind of alludes to this too, is that kind of anger then affects our ability to make wise decisions. Whoever has a hasty temper exalts folly. Folly. Again, notice the short temper, short of breath, fuels folly. I like one of the commentators in her commentary on Proverbs, she translates the Hebrew word for fool, who is involved with folly all the time, as jerk. Have you ever told somebody you're a jerk? Well, that's the idea that's going on here. Yeah, and so what happens is, in those kind of situations, is we can then make rash decisions when we're angry. We can make unwise decisions or actions. I mean, have you ever noticed after we blow our cool, we kind of feel like a fool? I've been there multiple times. Why is that? Because we were a fool. We were being a fool in that instance. That's the point of it. And here why. When we get hot under the collar, this is what can happen. It can distort our view of situations. It can distort our view of people. It can distort our view of ourselves. It can distort our view of the world. And it can make us to make unwise choices. Anger can be dangerous. Not surprising. Second thing, anger can be good. This might be surprising to some of us. Proverbs 16:32, we read, "The one who is slow to anger is better than the mighty," or the word there is a warrior. "And one whose temper is controlled is better than the one who captures a city." What's the poet trying to tell us? That if we have anger in check, we are better than somebody that conquers a city. So what are we talking about here? Well, with regard to anger, when we're talking about anger that is good and not bad anger, the ideal, as I was sharing with the kids, is slow anger. Because everybody gets angry, don't we? And there are times, listen to me, there are times when we should get angry about a situation because something's not right. But the key is slow, controlled anger. In fact, if you would read some of the other English translations of this proverb or any place where it says whoever is slow to anger, some of the newer translations says whoever is patient. And the idea there is we're angry, what are we going to do with it? Which I was trying to tell the kids. Why do we want to have slow or controlled anger? So that it doesn't overtake us. So that it doesn't overcome us. And then our judgment becomes clouded. And we can't see things the way we should. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 4. Be angry. So there are times when we need to be angry about something. But sin not. In fact, we are told over and over again in the Old Testament that God is slow to anger. Think of it this way. If we love our spouse or our children or a friend, and somebody is threatening to harm them, we should get angry, shouldn't we, about that? Yet anger, and how, what type of anger it is, and how we respond, will determine how we're going to deal with that situation. So, again, with regard to this, the ideal is a controlled response. A controlled response. So the slow of anger, being slow at it and controlled at it, will lead to a controlled response. We read this and you probably wondered what it had to do with anger. Don't be a witness against your neighbor without cause. What are we talking about here? Well, there are times when we have good causes to be angry about something, whatever it may be. But remember that good anger, or anger that we want to see something change or whatever it may be, has to be with a controlled response. Because without an appropriate cause and a cold or controlled response, our anger will get out of hand and we will act unwisely. And then people get into trouble for that. People go to jail for that. People pay fines or whatever you want to say, and then damage friendships, damage relationships, damage family members. You know, we could just go on and on. So the key here is knowing the cause of our anger. Is it the little everyday things that get on our nerves and make us angry? That happens every day. No big deal. That's part of life. That'll probably never stop happening. Or is it something deeper that we've never forgotten or forgiven? The problem is the things that are much deeper, if not dealt with, begin to spill over into our everyday life. And what happens then is our anger increases, and in some cases, and I've seen it, and I've talked with people, all of a sudden that anger starts to turn to God. And people are mad at God. And you got to read the book of Job to find out about that. And that's not a wisdom book that I'm going to preach on here. So, when this happens, this deep, unforgiven, unforgotten something. What has to happen there? The ideal is healed anger. That has to be or needs to be healed somehow in some way. And that probably can happen in a variety of ways. Sometimes we pray about it. Sometimes God answers that prayer. Sometimes we have to work through that with a friend or family member or a counselor or whatever. But I'm just going to give you three quick things that I hope, and we don't always think about it in the moment that we're angry, but I'm hoping that maybe these will help here real quick. First of all, admit our anger. I mean, you know, it's part of life, isn't it? We own our anger, and we talk about what level of anger that may be. You know, have you ever had anybody tell you, okay, let me ask it this way. Has the doctor or nurse ever asked you on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your pain? Okay, why not ask on a scale of 1 to 10, what is your anger? 9 right now, or whatever, you know. Because if we don't, then we can, if we're in denial, we can allow it to control us. And sometimes people don't even know they're angry. They just go around and the way they treat people. We see that with kids in school and stuff like that. The way they treat others. I've seen it on occasions. So admit it. Then we analyze our anger. What do we mean by that? Well, listen to this. This jumped out at me this week. Proverbs 24:29. Don't say, now I can pay them back for what they've done to me. I'll get even with them. Did you notice how that begins? Don't say. What do you mean? Don't say this. The poet is talking about don't say to yourself. It's self-talk. Often, what leads to long-term anger is not what has happened to us yesterday or the day before, but what, listen to this, what we tell ourselves or believe has happened to us. This really jumped out at me and was illuminating to me this week. And it can cause us then to say, what is so important about this that I am so angry right now? Is it my pride or ego? Is it a pain or hurt that someone's caused me or something else? And then from that, transform our anger. Listen to what it says there, 15:1. A gentle answer deflects anger. Or chapter 25, 21, 22. If your enemies are starving, feed them some food. If they are thirsty, give them water to drink. By doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads and the Lord reward you. What does that mean? What is that? Is that a way, a secret religious way to get back at somebody for what they did to us? No. We are helping to transform because it's about our enemies. The people that make us mad. We help transform or heal that anger in us or maybe their anger by countering it through positive actions instead of feeding it through negative ones. And the feeding of it just comes, it usually feeds in us and also in them. And then the animosity never goes away. Think about it like this, and I know I'm going over here. When God became human, vulnerable in Jesus, what did we do to him? We killed him. At the cross, we mocked, reviled, beat him. But he did not retaliate. What was he doing? He was absorbing or countering humanity's anger without paying back. Jesus responded with a loving, gentle answer. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If Jesus responded in this wise and loving way, and Jesus' Spirit lives in us, perhaps we too, with His grace, healing, and help, can also act in the same way. I'm not saying it's easy. I know. It's not easy. Let me encourage you to reach out to Him, understanding and handling our anger. Amen. Amen. Well, let's go ahead. I think we're just going to go ahead and stand right up, and we'll get ready to sing our last little song there as we close out. If you want to shake somebody's hand right behind you, in front of you, you can do that real quick and say, God bless you today, and it's good to see you. And then we'll go ahead and sing our two verses, the first two verses of Jesus, We Just Want to Thank You this morning then. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. being so good. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Praise you for being so good. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Go forth sustained in your connection to God. May the love of God, the peace of Christ, and the presence of the Spirit sustain us always. Amen. Amen. Amen.